This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, let's fire up Ravens fans Derrick Henry. Let's do it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You're standing next to Lamar Jackson pre-snap. What are you thinking?
I just tell eight, lead, I'm going to be right behind you.
You know, the Ravens use fullbacks, too.
Big guy. Seen him on film a lot, so I'm definitely familiar with him, yeah, for sure.
Mr. Ricard, you're going to beam you up.
Earlier on the show, keeper of the Stanley Cup, Howie Barrow. Coming up, actor and producer Dennis Quaid. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, everybody. We are fired up because we had the Stanley Cup here in hour number one. That actually happened. We're on a roll. I'm not going to lie to you. We must be butter, to use the phrase of my friend Stuart Scott.
Shout out.
We must be butter because we're on a roll. The Stanley Cup was here.
Right there.
Our first guest on tomorrow's show is Jon Bon Jovi in studio.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Are you going to be here for that?
100%.
Okay, very
first
good.
First time you saw him in concert was when?
Long time ago.
84, 85.
Okay.
Wow.
Very good. So he goes, he's a Jersey boy. He'll be here in studio to kick off our show tomorrow. So it's Lord Stanley kicking it off today. Jon Bon Jovi tomorrow. And I just had a nice chat with our guest for this hour. The great, brilliant Dennis Quaid is in our green room, and so is his bulldog named Beaches.
Oh, yeah.
Who might make an appearance here as well.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll be our first dog since Michael Chiklis brought Tom Brady in.
Right? No, we had Bubbles, who wasn't.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Bubbles, the Chihuahua, Joe Manganiello's Bubbles. Yeah. So
hopefully me and Beaches will get along better than
Beaches,
me and Bubbles.
Beaches did not like Beaches didn't move very much.
Okay. Bubbles does not like people.
Bubbles wasn't feeling me at all.
I wasn't feeling anybody. Dennis is in a new film that's in nationwide theaters this very Friday based on a book called Mustang Miracle. It's called The Long Game. And it is a beautiful movie. Cheech Marin is in it.
Nice.
Jay Hernandez is in it as well. And Dennis will, it's about golf and about, I'll have him tell the story when he comes out here in just a few minutes' time. We'll talk Masters with him, and we've got a great celebrity, true or false, with Dennis Quaid coming up. Great NFL draft chat with our friend Dane Brugler, new friend from The Athletic. And again, hour number one, we have the Stanley Cup here. And again, John Monaco, our director, diehard Ranger fan, refused to take a picture with the cup out of fear of being too superstitious. That he would ruin the Rangers season taking a picture with the cup. But he took a picture of the cup.
It's insane, but I got to respect it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Took a picture of the cup.
Yeah.
Matt in Georgia is on the Rich Eisen Show. He dialed 844-204-RICH, number to call. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. Yeah, so I was calling in, talk about a couple superstitions that I have, and then also if you want to hear my argument for the out of the back of the end zone play, and I have a Bill Belichick story.
Oh, my God.
I made him laugh.
Matt, well, here's the deal, Matt, is that we've got our guest Dennis Quaid coming out, and if I'm not mistaken, did I see him pop his head out over there with his dog, Beaches?
Did you
see Beaches?
Like came out.
Okay. So I'll give you dealer's choice. Choose one of the three, and then you can call back another time. Which one do you want to talk about?
All right, let's go with the Bill Belichick story.
Okay.
So I went to UGA's Pro Day as a student, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of walked in there, randomly kind of got in there, was able to just kind of stand around at the end of the Pro Day while, of course, all the coaches are talking. Bill Belichick is being interviewed for television and everything. This was 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And so Belichick is, you know, talking to people. He's finished. I walk over to him to get his signature for a friend of mine who's a Patriots fan, and I explain that to him while he's writing it out. And then I said at the very end, I was like, "Yeah, I'm a Falcons fan. You're the reason for my depression," which got a good laugh out of Bill.
And then he was almost the Falcons head coach. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Uh huh. I hear you. Thanks for the call, Matt. Call back again. You know,
man,
in this world that we live in the NFL, I understand Bill the last couple years, three years in New England, it went south. It did. It did. And part of the reason why it went south, and oh, by the way, Rich, thick limb you're out on there, you know, at 4-13, did it really go south? And how things went south for Mac Jones. And part of the reason why is Bill had a hand in it. There's just no two ways about it. I mean, to have Mac Jones fall apart, to go from a rookie season in which he damn near beat Tom Brady in Brady's return and had a ton of people wearing Mac Jones 10 jerseys and absolutely was an integral part to the Patriots making the playoffs that year. And he was a Pro Bowl quarterback replacement. And it, you
he
know,
was on the NFL top 100 that year.
And he, I think, deserved all of that because he's a rookie and he's replacing Tom Brady.
Yep.
Okay? Right? And they also bounced Cam Newton to give him the free space, which I thought was a very crucial move by Bill to say, don't look over your shoulder.
Right.
Just talk to Josh McDaniels. He's got you. And we saw what happened. Now, I know they got the doors blown off them by the Buffalo Bills, but that's what's going to happen is you're, you know, trying to find the next Brady, which, by the way, I'll give you a spoiler alert, doesn't exist.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Okay. So, but then to have Josh McDaniels take the job in Vegas and then replace him with two guys that shouldn't be anywhere near your quarterback, that was Bill's decision, one would think, right? And then the next year, the roster was just less than, and he's in charge of the roster. So I understand why things came to an end in New England. You have to understand. You have to understand it. But to say that Bill's not a great coach anymore is beyond the pale, off the charts. Missing the point. You're not even close to the bullseye there. The guy is knows more football. Like, just look at the cuticle on the smallest finger on your hand.
He's forgotten more than you
okay.
will ever know.
He is truly unlike anybody I've ever come across. And it's wild that all the NFL teams that had job openings this year, he didn't get one of them. I still don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all.
Only interviewed with Atlanta.
I don't get it. And maybe because we don't know the full scope. Did he want the full store again?
Right.
So, but to have this opportunity to have this individual coach your team and turn it down is nuts. Truly. We saw him over this weekend with his son, Steven, who is in Washington. He's the defensive coordinator. Look at this photograph of him in Washington Huskies gear.
It's great.
But the sleeves are intact. That's the weirdest That's thing about true. The
picture. Well, I mean,
no visor either.
Just look at this picture of him in Washington Huskies gear. You know? And they're so lucky to have him there and talk to the staff and talk to the kids and be part of the evaluation. You have no idea, right? You have no earthly idea what that would be like. Right. I do, because I've heard this man talk football on the set of NFL 100. And then this past in his before his final win of his tenure in New England in that game in Denver this year, Christmas Eve night, I got a chance to have a broadcast meeting with him. And it was obvious, like, what are we going to say? Well, you know, how are you going to handle Russell Wilson? What are you going to do? And I decided in that meeting what my opinion was going to be is I want to hear stories from him. And we started hearing stories and started talking ball, and him and Kurt Warner talking about their Super Bowl that they, you know, played against each other. He coached against the Rams. We all know birth of the Tom Brady legend. And it just hearing him talk football and his passion for it. But then I come back here and I'm like, this guy's not done coaching.
Oh, yeah. So jealous.
Honestly, he knows more about anything than anybody thinks they know.
Right.
And I to turn down the opportunity to have him be the head coach of your team, it's just, to me, nuts. Then I guess he showed up in Nebraska. I'm not fully understanding as to why. But boy, are they lucky. And you know who knows it? Matt Rhule, the head coach of Nebraska football, who talked about Belichick being around the staff and the team. Hit it.
He is so smart. I've seen so much that he can make the complex so simple that it humbles you and embarrasses you. I was embarrassed yesterday listening to him. How smart he is! How simple it was. He went. He went 4.5 hours with just with the coaches. Forget the clinic. Like, he came in and met with our coaching staff. And with 3.5 hours in, I was like, "Coach, would you like a water, a coffee? Would you like to use the restroom?" Because I desperately had to use the restroom, you know. And he's like, "I'm fine, Matt." I was like, "Yes, sir." And just sitting there and just talking, right? And just his recall from things 15 years ago. And, you know, the only reason why we don't get through more information is because he's having to slow down to make sure you understand what he's saying. I mean, so you have this man who's a savant, right? Who's been a defensive coordinator. He's been a special teams coordinator. He's coached, you know, he could be an offensive coordinator. He's been a head coach twice. He's been a GM person. I mean, he's talking about football in a way that just, like, I mean, illuminates things and makes things so simple that you're like, oh my goodness.
I've been there in an NFL 100 production meeting. I've been there on an NFL 100 set. I've been there in a production meeting before a game. I know exactly how he feels. Yeah. And I'm not an expert in football X's and O's like he is. And he's like, he makes me feel dumb.
Yeah.
Like I'm embarrassed. I'm serious.
They could have got through more, but Bill had to slow down and to make sure they understood.
I've been there. It's Matt Rhule. That is a perfect and humble way to describe it.
Coach, you need a water?
No, because he has to go to the bathroom. He's like, no, I'm fine, Matt. And I was like, so I'll hold it in. Yeah. You're going to have to hold it in because Bill's not ready to break class up. I'm telling you.
Bill can't break.
And it's not 15 years. It's 50 years. He'll remember stuff from 50 years ago. Didn't I tell you that one time he told this story at NFL 100 to Jerry Rice when Jerry was on the set, that one time Giants, Niners, he's the defensive coordinator, it's Steve Young and it's Rice and whatever, and he was telling everybody, you know, hey, just in, we're not letting Rice beat us in this 2-minute drill with less than two minutes to go. We're up. We're not letting Rice beat us. That's not going to happen. And what ended up happening was there was a fumble on a snap, and it turned into a total fire drill. And, you know, the Niners recovered it, and the Giants were not ready defensively on the next play because it was such a fire drill, and Rice beat them. And Belichick says he talks to all of his teams about being prepared in a 2-minute drill defensively if there's a fumble by the opposing quarterback that they quickly recover, be ready because the next play's coming fast. Mm. And he uses that moment as an example.
Wow.
To teach his team about being situationally prepared. So, dude, it's a damn friggin' shame how it ended in New England. Because it apparently bled into his ability to get another job. Which is nuts.
Seemingly.
Yeah. I'm telling you, what Matt Rhule just said doesn't even explain a small percentage of it. I saw that soundbite from Matt Rhule. I was laughing out loud the entire time. Because I'm like, I get it. You know. And Jed Fish up there in Washington, you know, who's got a New England history as well.
Yep.
So lucky to have a Belichick focused and locked in on it. I'll tell you, you know what? I'm not terribly happy about that. Washington plays Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully Bill will be occupied with his new media job, whatever that's going to be. by that point in time.
Working on a book too, right?
Good. Hopefully he'll be deep in chapter two. So it is in chapter 11, Michigan, that week. All right, we'll take a break. Dennis Quaid is here. His new film, The Long Game. Let's talk about it with him. That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Hey, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back on our radio network, sitting here with the star of The Long Game. He also produced it with a new production company formed called Bonnydale Productions, the great Dennis Quaid. It's great to see you, brother. It really is. Great, that was a fun clip, Rich. We just saw, man.
Thank you. The story is it's an incredible story, and kind of in the vein of Breaking Away and The Rookie. And it's an underdog story, and it's a true story as well. It is in the 1950s, these five Chicano kids down in South Texas, their caddies at this country club where they can't play because, you know, discrimination back then, the way things were, segregation. And they made their own golf course out in the desert. They had one hole and they had like nine ways to come to it. And they formed a golf team at their high school and had a lot of trouble playing. You know, even getting into the tournaments, but they won the state championship the very first year that they played. And a couple of the guys are still around. They came to the set, which was really cool.
How cool is that?
It's a little bit like the Lee Trevino story, in fact. And I talked to Lee, in fact, to send him a copy of the movie to see it and waiting to hear back what he thinks.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. It was based on a book called Mustang Miracle, right? Is that what it's based on?
Yeah.
So it's a true story, essentially.
It's a true story.
Outstanding.
True stories are best because, you know, they're, nobody would believe it if you made it up.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I love how you mentioned it's similar to Breaking Away, which is was one of your first films, right? Breaking Away?
Yeah, that was, well, it was the first thing that I did that. Things got a lot easier for me. It was a real turning point for me, that movie. And The Rookie was as well, because, you know, The Rookie was about second chances. And that was kind of a second chance for me, too, I think, that movie.
Right. And again, this movie is in theaters near you nationwide. Cheech Marin in
Cheech
it as
Marin
well.
Cheech Marin is in it. He plays the picking up the range ball guy with a cage around his head. He's amazing.
Well, I mean, Cheech also has history in golf movies as well. Tin Cup. Yeah. And so I imagine this has got to be your first golf movie you've made, right, of your career?
I've played golf in movies. I've always tried to get a golf movie. Golf movies are hard to get made. But, you know, just like any sports movie, really, they can't be about the sport at the bottom of it. They got to be about something else universal that we all relate to.
Right.
And it's just a beautiful story. It's about the American dream.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's in theaters near you nationwide this Friday, Masters weekend too. How about that? Did you do that on purpose, Dennis?
I think we did, actually. Masters has always been during my birthday week, which is like I always consider a present.
Well, and happy birthday.
I just thank you very much. You're welcome. Then, you know, the U.S. Open is during Father's Day, so
that's right.
You're allowed to just lay there on the couch and watch it. And nobody can say a thing.
It is perfectly timed when you think about it. Because Father's Day is the one day where you can literally say.
Yeah, can you imagine I put the U.S. Open on Mother's Day?
You're not watching.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever played Augusta National? You ever been out there?
No, I played. I played Augusta Country Club right next door. Sure. I was going to play Augusta National.
Yeah.
And what happened was is the guy that was going to host us, he cut his ankle open the morning before, and he was in the hospital. And
did you tell him to suck it up, bandage it?
Just about. I was right there and did not get. And you could see a sliver of it from the country club next door. It was February. It was cold. I didn't care.
Of course not. So who do you think has a shot to win this year's tournament, Dennis? What do you think? Let's talk a little Masters.
I'm looking for Scottie Scheffler.
He's just insanely
good. He's always there. He'd be five shots back.
Yeah.
You know, Saturday night, and you go.
Doesn't matter.
He's going to be there. And I mean,
the Players' Championship.
Oh, it was incredible.
Especially,
you know, he brings a lot of excitement.
Which one was it? I think it was on the island hole, right? And NBC showed the shot because they were doing the broadcast. Showed the shot that he had not three putted in something like 3 months or something insane like that. I forgot what the stat was.
Yeah.
But they showed it just as he's lining up his birdie putt from 48 feet. Because he was just playing it smart, just get it on
the
green,
and then
two putt and get out
down there.
But if he didn't two putt, he would have fallen back into a tie for the lead,
right?
And he put it within 2 inches of the cup.
He just does it, you know. He just gets up there and does it, and he's figured it out. He's really great at course management, more than anybody I think out there.
So you think
I would really like to see Rory. Come back. It's been a while.
It has.
For any of them. And, I'd like to see him do well. I think they're paired on the very first day, he and Scotty.
Yeah, right. Did you say it was Rory and Scotty Scheffler?
And Xander Schauffele.
What a pairing that is, for sure. And then, Tiger, 48. He looks good.
Yeah,
better than ever. You ever play with him?
I hit balls with him because I was taking lessons from Butch Harmon. And there was a wind that day, and Tiger was hitting balls. He, with his 60, he'd go up and go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, okay, I'm going to hit one here. It's going to go 170 yards out, and then it's going to make a left turn. And it made a 90-degree left turn.
Like it had his blinker on?
Yeah. It was amazing. You know, that was about, 2000, something
like that. When you see that, how do you then put another ball down yourself and hit it in front of him? How does one do such a thing like that?
I'll just get him on a movie set, see how he does.
There you go. Get him in your lane, is what you're saying?
You got to hear the playing field here.
Am I hearing Beaches making noises during this conversation?
Yeah, she's talking.
What's he doing? What's he doing down there? Beaches.
Thinking about Masters weekend.
By the way, he's doing your imitation of watching the U.S. Open right there.
That's right.
He's just sitting there doing whatever he wants to do. Dennis Quaid here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so we have a game we like to play with folks with a filmography as vast as yours called Celebrity True or False, where we hear things about the history of your career, whether they're true or not, just because they're on the internet. Ready for that? Can we do it?
Okay.
We have some excellent production value to go along with.
I'll do my best.
Hit it.
Celebrity true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
There you go. It's a little Jack Nicholson for you. Have you ever been in a movie with Jack?
My very first movie set was watching Jack Nicholson and Marlon Brando in Missouri Breaks.
What?
My brother was in it, and I drove his car up to Montana, and I was fresh from Houston. Still had turnip leaves on my shoulders, and there I am watching Marlon Brando and Jack Nicholson.
What the hell is that?
He's a very generous guy with himself. We were over at his house just about every night, and I was new. He gave me a lot of great advice, and just a great guy.
Wasn't your brother in The Last Detail with him?
That's right, yeah.
What a movie that is.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, that's not one of the first movies you hear mentioned with Jack Nicholson, but it is spectacular.
Your brother was spectacular
in it as well.
He really was. He was nominated for Academy Award for that.
So Jack would just say, come on over, hang out?
Yeah. Like, he was, like I said, he was very generous with himself and really funny and very real. And he was very appreciative. He really liked being a movie star.
What does that mean?
Well, everything that went with it, you know, the trailer, just being on the set. He loved making movies. You could just feel his enthusiasm for his profession, you know?
That's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
All right, first one up for you. Dennis Quaid, celebrity, true or false? True or false, you tested for the role of Luke Duke on the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes.
But Tom Wopat got the gig. Is that it?
I actually got the role.
You did?
Yes.
Wow.
And what happened?
It would be either role.
You were either Duke.
I could be either Duke.
Okay.
And I didn't do it because I had just been to, I got offered that, and then I went to a meeting with Peter Yates about Breaking Away. And Peter Yates said, don't do it. You need to be in this movie. And he was right. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of iconic.
You could have been in the General Lee,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah, could have. Okay.
I could be driving General Lee right now.
You could be doing that.
Wow.
Well, so instead you rode a bicycle.
John and I are friends, actually.
Okay.
No, yeah, saw him a couple of months ago. Great guy.
Okay. So yeah. You had your choice of being either Duke. I love that. So that's true. All right. True or false, Dennis Quaid, you were an extra in Stripes.
Yes, but I didn't know that I was. My wife then wife, PJ Souls, was... You know, one of the two girls that was in it.
Right.
And I visited the set, and I was just roaming around where they were shooting, but they caught me in the background of something. And so because of Screen Actors Guild or whatever, they had to list me as a credit.
What, is this the scene you were caught in where you were, where it was the...
Yes.
That's the scene right
yeah,
there?
Yeah, but I still...
That's
the life
Jack.
Of me cannot find myself.
So you're in there somewhere.
Somewhere I'm
in the lineup.
I'm in there, and I'm not wearing green or whatever.
That's the fat Jack.
I mean,
okay.
Why I'm not getting residuals for that, I'm gonna investigate. Thank you.
So that's why, if you look at your filmography, you're an extra in Stripes. It's just you were just strolling around.
Amazing. Right.
Do you have any good memories of Bill Murray on that set?
Oh, he's fabulous. I mean, they would load up a camera. That's when they had real film back then. It would be like 1,000 feet of film that will go for like 15 minutes. And he would just improvise and just go on and just, it was like gold, everything that came out of his mouth that you would be howling about, you know?
Oh, my gosh. I'd love to see
guy.
That. So that it must exist somewhere, right? That all that footage must exist somewhere.
I'm sure.
Stripes outtakes.
I would love to see that. All right, next up, celebrity true or false, Dennis Quaid. True or false, Chuck Yeager took you and your colleagues on flights to prepare for The Right Stuff.
Well, he took me on a flight. I got my pilot's license during The Right Stuff. I was very secretive about it.
Why?
Well, because you were not supposed to fly when you're... When you're doing a movie, you know, you're not supposed to parachute, ride a motorcycle, anything, you know.
Where you could get hurt.
I was taking flying lessons because I met my real astronaut, Gordo Cooper. He turned out, he was a hero of mine when I was a kid. And he turned out he lived 3 miles from me in the valley in L.A. And he turned me on to this Bud Wallen over at Van Nuys Aviation. And Bud, who was... 74 at the time, he was 3 years younger than aviation itself. So I figured, to the guy, where you can solo if you want to, but you don't have to. So, but I got my license during that, and Yeager, one day I had a bonanza out there on the set, one of the, what they call doctor killers, the V-tails, and took me up flying over the lake bed and over Edwards Air Force Base.
Holy cow.
It was incredible. It was great.
Did he floor it?
What?
At one point?
It was, you know, really flying is all about landing more than anything else.
It really is. Yes, I can understand
it's
that.
It's easy to fly. It's hard to land. And it was just, he just loved it. He was checked out, I think, at that time in 192 separate aircraft. Mm-hmm. And I mean, people are really good at experience, maybe they have five or six. 192.
I mean, the only
a lot of them had X on them.
I bet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. The only thing I think that could be anything that I've ever experienced close to it was riding in the back of an Indy car, driven by Mario Andretti.
Yeah.
You know, and the Long Beach course.
Yeah.
You know, where I was just like with a legend, right, of speed in his own world.
It's a whole other thing.
I'm sure.
Why do they even call it driving, right?
I couldn't imagine how we got so close to the walls.
Yeah.
And I was on a GoPro, so I just like, don't look scared. That's all I wanted to make sure is I didn't look scared. But I can only imagine, like, climbing into a cockpit, right, with Chuck Yeager.
Well, that was a bonanza. I did go on a practice with the Blue Angels down in El Centro, where they train and stuff. And that was really something, you know, because you get the whole formation there, and they go through the whole flight with their eyes closed, talking it through, and then you go up and you're pulling 8 G's. And they're 18 inches off each other's wings.
Oh, my God.
You know, doing 500 miles per hour. And sometimes they call it rubbing when they touch. And so that was a blast. But, yeah, and it was worth the throw up. It really was.
I was going to ask if you did lose it.
I did. Yeah. They,
no shame
for some
that.
Reason, did not give me a G-suit. You know, G-suit, it squeezes down and keeps the blood, you know, in your head.
Sure.
And I would black out every once in a while.
I bet. Dennis Quaid, Celebrity True or False. Next up, your character in Any Given Sunday, Cap Rooney. His house is really Dan Marino's house.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was Dan Marino's.
So when I'm watching Any Given Sunday in your house, that's really Dan
that's
Marino's
really Dan
house.
Dan Marino's house. I mean, his trophy room was, I mean, you can't art decorate that thing.
Is that really was it, that those are Dan Marino's
those
trophies?
Are all Dan Marino's things. Yeah. Yeah. He was nice enough to.
That's cool.
Was Dan there?
Yeah. He came to the set. Yeah.
Did you pick up anything from Marino? What do you think?
I took a football.
I should hold him in it. I should have been a little bit more detailed. Let me rephrase. Did you get any tips on quarterbacking from Dan Marino? Dennis Quaid. he's like, wait a minute. What happened to that game ball from the AFC Championship
I
game?
Think somebody said something about I couldn't throw a cat out of a window, but all right.
Nice. So that really is his house.
Yes, it was.
So how did that happen? Is he just like tight with Oliver Stone?
I guess so. You know, Oliver had a way.
Can we use your house, Dan? Hey,
Dan. Oliver did such an incredible, in my opinion, that is the best football movie ever done.
Why do you think?
Because you can feel it. Mm-hmm. It's visceral. You can feel the hits and the stories behind it feel real. The NFL pulled their endorsement of it, which kind of at the time spoke that it was pretty real. Because it was kind of a behind the scenes look, but you could, and I, you know, Oliver with, you know, his reputation and stuff, I thought somebody was really going to get hurt on this thing because he's going to just go all out, which we did, but nobody got hurt.
So you were you're really playing? Is that what you're saying? When you were going all out? What do you mean?
Yeah. We were all like out there playing and, you know, half of the actors were professional football players.
Well, Jim Brown, right? Or Lawrence Taylor?
T.O.'s in that
movie. What I remember is Oliver didn't show up to the set till about like 10:30, 11 o'clock. He'd have like a 7 o'clock call, but he would show up, you know, somewhere around noon sometimes. He's Oliver Stone. And so Jimmy Woods, myself, Lawrence Taylor, and Jim Brown would be over at Doral every morning at sunup, and we played a grudge match for about 3 months straight. It was blast.
Would you just different pair ups?
Yeah, we played
same foursome, different pair ups.
No, it was
pressing.
It was always we were playing singly all the time.
Okay,
yeah, That's what we play.
And who was the best player? You?
Oh, I was for sure.
Okay.
I think I had the lowest handicap. Lawrence Taylor was really good.
Okay.
He actually had a lower handicap than I was. He wore two gloves and he would play in flip flops and beach shorts. And Jim Brown was a solid player. And he and I had a real grudge match. And the best defensive player ever and the best offensive player ever. And they're out there. You did not want to get into an argument with Jim Brown because he would take it.
I bet.
To the limit.
I can't imagine.
One of the greatest individuals to ever grace this earth, Jim Brown.
I have so many great stories about Jim Brown that I'm fortunate to have been around him and to have met him. And one of my favorite stories I'll tell you that I picked up one of my first days I was on the job for NFL Network. I asked Merlin Olsen, the great Merlin Olsen of the fearsome foursome of the LA Rams defensive line, the hardest he ever hit somebody, and he said it was Jim Brown. That they were talking when the Browns were coming into the Coliseum, that Jim Brown was never got a good lick on him. And they were talking Deacon and Merlin and Rosie Greer. They were all talking all week long.
Right.
Whoever gets the hit on Jim Brown, you're gonna be lucky. And one of the first snaps, Brown comes around the end and Merlin Olsen's got him clear. And he lays into him and he said, I envisions I'm gonna get up and see Jim's eyes rolling in the back of his head. And Merlin got up and watched Jim go 70 more yards for the touchdown. It's one of the greatest stories I've ever
heard. That was the way he would make you pay, man. It'd be like, I've seen the film. It's like seven guys hanging off this him. And, he was around on the Express too. From Syracuse. And
yes.
So he was around for that as well. And so I kind of had a kind of a long and storied relationship with him.
I bet.
Yeah.
Last one for you. True or false, the scene in The Rookie where Jimmy walks out to the mound for the first time at the ballpark in Arlington actually was filmed during the seventh inning stretch of a game.
Yeah, it was. That was like, that's what's great about being an actor, man. Going indoors that say authorized personnel only. being out on the bullpen, there at Texas Stadium and, it's having that kind of kid's fantasy, really, of running into jogging in to take the mound and, there's like 50,000 people in the stands.
Did they let him know beforehand, hey, we're about to film, so
I think
round
so,
of
but, they serve a lot of beer there. I don't know.
It's right around the cutoff.
Okay. I just want to make it to home plate. That's, I didn't throw 100 miles per hour. In fact, I never put myself on a radar gun because I didn't want to be so disappointed. I just wanted to look like I could.
Well, you did.
That was really a thrill.
Just to really come out of the pen.
Yeah.
And an actual.
People get to do that.
At a Major League Baseball park, take a mound.
Yeah.
And so you only had a couple minutes, right? They're not going to hold up the game to make sure that you're getting a shot,
so we
right?
We just went out there and pitched and,
Did you wave to the crowd at the end? Yeah. Did you tip your cap?
Yeah.
Damn straight.
Yeah, I was in character. I just
went. Even if you weren't in character, I'd have waved around. Thanks, everybody. Fantastic. Dennis, love chatting with you, man.
You too,
every
Rich.
Single time.
Great to be here, man. I have a great time every time I'm here, and it's been too long.
I appreciate it. It has been. And I've enjoyed listening to the beaches serenading the entire time.
You look so. Everything all right?
Beaches, we're good.
Okay, you want some
beaches
bacon?
Beaches is singing. Ooh.
Bacon.
Nope, nothing. Not moving.
I guess she is out.
She is out. Well, there she is. The Long Game will be out in theaters nationwide this Friday. Beautiful movie. Everybody check it out, starring Dennis Quaid. And it is from your new production company, Bonnydale, first of hopefully many such great films.
We're going to be doing many films in this vein, and which is really about America. It's about underdogs. It's about your dreams in life. And, I want you to feel good walking out of the theater.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Look,
and count me in on every single one of them. So
thank you,
let me know if you ever want to come back here. I'd love to have you.
You bet.
The great Dennis Quaid right here on The Rich Eisen Show. We're back to wrap things up in a sec. back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. What a show. Stanley yeah. Cup in studio all hour one. Dennis Quaid and his dog, hour three.
Dennis Quaid and his dog.
Talking NFL draft, deep diving.
Love it.
What's our poll question results? We haven't reviewed it.
All right,
so
all right, a couple of polls. Let's see.
What do you got?
We got the coolest trophy in sports. No surprise, Stanley Cup wins that 56%.
What's second place? The Lombardi?
Lombardi 16%, gold medal 15%, green jacket 12%.
Okay.
And then quarterback will have the biggest season in his second as full-time starter. CJ Stroud runaway 61%. Jordan Love 25%, Brock Purdy 14%.
And you're wondering what the biggest leap for Brock Purdy could possibly look like. The respect where he gets the 61% because everybody believes he's going to be the man.
He's already had the leap. That was my point.
I don't.
I mean, his leap was from Iowa State to the NFL. Like, and how he's been able to perform so well.
He almost won the Super Bowl last
year. I understand that, Chris, but he was never credited for it. I do understand. He doesn't get the credit for it. It's Christian McCaffrey. It's Deebo Samuel. It's Nick Bosa. It's his coach. It's everybody but him.
That's the truth.
And your pushback is understandable. It's just like, but he was an MVP finalist. So how does he get the disrespect? I guess it's the
he was fourth in MVP.
Here's where he gets the disrespect.
He had better stats than Lamar Jackson.
Chris, this is where he gets the disrespect from the TV screens I see every single day. The split screen hashtag yelling at each other, sports talk world. He doesn't get any respect there. Zero. I think.
Who would you take higher in fantasy next year?
If I had to take any of those three in fantasy next year, I would take Stroud. I would take him. He's got he's set up.
So you're part of the Purdy disrespect.
I'm not disrespecting him. How could you say that? Since
if you believe so
how
much.
How could you say that? You accuse him of being one of my children.
You're following. That's true.
I talk about him that much.
Yeah. This guy's acting like he was Purdy all season. Like, come on.
Nick in Ontario, Canada has been hanging on for two and a half hours. Bless you, Nick. How are you, Nick?
What's up, Nick?
I'm good, Rich. How are you doing?
What's going on? What's on your mind?
I just want to wish you guys a happy Masters weekend.
Thank you. You too. Back at you.
And strictly judging off the dinner photo last night, I have DJ taking it with his green tie.
Oh, he went black shirt too.
Okay.
He went dark shirt.
Okay. And have DJ taking the green jacket because he showed up to the Masters dinner attired? Right. Is that why?
Because he looks the part.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay. All right. That's it. That's what you're holding on for 2.5 hours to give that opinion.
DJ,
God bless you.
DJ's taking it.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Hey,
40-1, Dustin Johnson.
Support the live, guys. That'll be me.
Attaboy. All right, Nick. Thanks for the call. Greatly appreciate it.
Dustin Johnson, 40-1.
All right, we're taking a look at the photograph right here. Once again, you're taking
Sergio. I mean, not poor Sergio, but Sergio in a back right corner,
what's up with that? I mean, a Spaniard won, for crying out loud. What the hell's he doing in the back?
He should be right behind Rom.
What do you think? They're serving paella there, and he's getting jammed in the back. Look at that photograph. Keep it up.
True.
Let's do our usual drill here.
It's great. Great photo.
Oh, there he is. There he is in the back. And look at Phil. Phil, blink. Look at Craig Stadler. Look at him.
Yeah.
And there's Olathabo.
Olathabo, great beard.
Yeah.
Nice beard action right there.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Love it.
All right, Phil. Look at Phil. But, I mean, Sergio, they put baby in a corner.
Yeah, he really is. I mean,
what's going on?
All right,
here we go. Let's take a look here. There's Dustin in the back. Him and VJ are always in the back. And Nick Faldo always looks like a balloon floating. Doesn't he?
Nick Faldo.
Is Nick Faldo bigger than is he bigger than Bubba Watson? Is he taller?
Yeah, I think Nick Faldo is sneaky, like 6'4", giant head.
Look at him. Yeah. It's like a balloon in the back. Now, how quickly did everybody around Patrick Reed stop smiling after the photograph was taken? Is that wrong to say? Look at Tom Watson.
He's not well.
All right, there's Tom. Looking at Tom.
Longer.
Wearing a pink shirt right there. There's Tiger, El Tigre, with the yellow tie.
Great yellow tie. Okay, Real Momin right in front of him. He's going to be on the broadcast.
We're giving Jack the seat next to Ray Floyd.
Spieth wearing purple.
Okay, I like it. Look at Freddie. Freddie sneaking in the back there.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. And this is taken before somebody left a red wine in the glass on the front right there.
Where?
Look at that.
Oh, yeah. Right here.
I mean, you're right, Rich. That's a party foul, yeah, as far as I'm concerned. Doing? This is before dinner, right?
I would imagine this is before dinner.
Yeah, because everything is all laid out.
All the plates are perfect. Yeah. Whose wine is that?
Does somebody get, like, you pick the centerpiece, you get to win it? Do you win the centerpiece?
Well, there it is. There's the wine. Who's leaving that?
He won.
Who's leaving that there? Okay.
Somebody.
Scotty Scheffler has the beard now. He had the beard the 2 weeks when he won in a row.
And in between Rahm and Jack, there is Fred Ridley of Augusta National. He runs the joint, right?
Yep.
And this is exactly what his Passover table looks like, I think, right? Wait a minute. I'm being told something else. Wait a minute.
Maddox Nemitz is out, Rich.
Ian Woosnam is Woosnam.
Is that fuzzy in front of Tiger? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's an interesting placement. There's Bernard Langer. Very good.
Brock, when you want one of those jackets, right?
Okay.
I mean, I think I'd give up Cage to have one of these jackets.
Oh, my goodness. Don't say that. Your son is going to see this one day.
He might win the Masters one day.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's good. Nice recovery. Nice recovery, best dad ever.
There you go.
Best dad ever. That's how you do it. Forget that whole business of just, you know, trading him for a jacket.
No.
You didn't mean that, Cage. He meant every word.
I'm like, Yasser, I just wanted to ask for
nice,
it.
Nice, there you go.
That's how you get the deal done.
You can't get it Yasser, unless you ask.
Not in this photo?
Not in it.
No.
He's under the table.
Not yet.
There he is. That's the man who's going to get him in there. Blink, Phil. Blink.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.